turn to Numbers 13. How do you like the title of the message today? The title of the message this morning is A Grasshopper Mentality. Okay, A Grasshopper Mentality. Now, I want you to notice what I did not say. I did not say a grasshopper's mentality. Okay? I said a grasshopper mentality. And there's a difference. Trust me, there is a difference. Okay? And we're going to see that a little bit this morning. But turn to Numbers chapter 13. And it's a record that I'm sure you all are very familiar with. And it's the record where Moses is getting ready to send out the 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. Okay? And Moses' instructions were, I want you to go into the land. I want you to see how good the land is. I want you to see how many buildings and homes there are and the fruit of the land and all of those sort of things, because I want you to come back and tell me if the land is everything that God said it was, okay, that God said it would be. And so the spies, they went and they came back, and then we're going to see what they told Moses and the leadership beginning in verse 26. And what I want to do is read completely through verse 26 through 33, and then we'll come back. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up into the inheritance thereof, the inhabitants thereof, I'm sorry, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay? So we see that the 12 spies, and again, you know the story. 10 of the spies came back and says, you know, yes, the land was everything that God said it would be. But you know, there's a problem. And I'm sure that God just didn't think this through. I'm sure God just didn't anticipate this, but you know, there are giants in the land, and there are folks in the land, they're killing off each other. I'm sure God just probably missed that part. I mean, God, I know he knows about the milk and the honey, and so we saw that, but you know, he didn't tell us about this other stuff, okay, that's going on, okay? So, yes, the land is everything God said it would be. But if we go over there, we won't live long enough to enjoy it. It's what those 10 spies were telling the children of Israel. Okay? Now, look in verse 27. And they told him and they said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Yes, the land is everything God said it would be. We will go over there and we will be prosperous. We'll be well fed. We'll be taken care of. God said that. That's true. Now look at verse 28, the very first word, nevertheless. Yes. Nevertheless. So what they're saying is, now, don't get your hopes up. Don't get too excited just yet, because there's another side to this picture. Okay? The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak. So what you see here is that the 10 spies, in their minds, they saw the inhabitants as being too strong to conquer. They saw the inhabitants as being too strong to conquer. Now, we're going to read a little bit in chapter 14 that God is very upset. He's going to be very upset with these 10 guys because he says, you know what? You saw how I delivered you out of Egypt. You saw all the miracles that I did. And yet you're going to tell the people that these people are too strong. Okay. The 10 saw roadblocks and not access. Let that sink in. The 10 saw roadblocks and not access. Because, see, God had already given them access. God had already said, the land is yours. Go over and take it. Okay? The land is yours. Go over and take it. Now, when we have little things that bother us, little aches, little pains, greater aches, greater pains, what do we see? We see the aches and the pains. We don't see the access of getting out of the aches and the pains. By his stripes, we were healed. That's the access. But see, we see the roadblock because, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. That hurts. I know what God's word says, but that hurts. And so when you're seeing the roadblock, when you're feeling the roadblock, guess where your mind is not? It's not on the access. Okay, it's not on the access. For the 10 spies, the enemy, guys, listen to this one. The enemy was more real to them than God's word. The enemy was more real to them than God's word. Okay? Whatever enemy that you are dealing with right now, health issues, financial issues, emotional issues, what you are telling God is that that is bigger than his word. You are telling God that the things I'm dealing with, God, you're perfect. You don't understand this. You don't have this physical body like I do. Then you don't understand what I'm going through. And God says, wait a minute. I've already taken care of all of that stuff. But see, we are seeing the enemy as being greater than God's word. And that's where many of us live. We don't live where we see God's word. Okay? We don't live where we see God's word. So here in Numbers chapter 13, we see that even though they saw the promises of God, they saw it, folks. You've seen it. How many of you were here when Dave Robinson was here? Did you see the promises of God manifest? How many of you have been prayed for and healing has manifested? Haven't you seen the promises of God manifested? You've seen it. You've seen it. Okay? Then why do you still have the roadblocks? You should have free access. Free access. Okay? Look at verse 29. Well, look at verse, 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea, dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. Now, when you go back into the first part of this chapter, you see where Caleb is from the tribe of Judah. Guess who else is from the tribe of Judah? Hallelujah. I wonder if Jesus got this fighting spirit from okay? Because see, Caleb, he wasn't taking any stuff. He says, well, he got shut up. We've seen the promises. We know God's word is true. Let's just go take what's ours. Let's go take what's ours. Let us go up at once. We don't need to talk about this. There's nothing to discuss. There is nothing we need to talk about. Let's just go up and do it. Let's obey. That's what he's saying. Let's obey. For we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome it. Okay? Verse 31. What's the first word? You know, I would love to kick some butt right now. I'm telling you, okay? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Okay? Now, in verse 31, they were afraid, and this is where I hope you all have your pencils handy. They were afraid, and if I can get you to see something this morning, this is what I want you to see. They were afraid because of what they saw. They were afraid because of what they saw. Okay? Now, when you start making decisions based on what you see, is that faith? When you start making decisions based on what you see, is that believing in God's word? Okay. So, let that sink in. What you see is not important when it comes to the truth of God's word. Okay? Now, in verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Okay? Now, they brought up an evil report. Let me ask you something. Everything that they said, was it factual? It was factual. Right? Then, if it was a factual report, why then does the Word of God call it evil? You know why? They came to the wrong decision based on what they saw. Okay? It was a factual report, but they drew the wrong conclusions from that report. Okay? Now, they came to the wrong conclusion, and you've heard this before. Because of what they saw. They came to the wrong conclusion because of what they saw. Okay? How many of you have heard of Gladys Knight? You remember the song that she sings, Heard It Through the Grapevine? And one of the lines that says, believe half of what you hear and half of what you see, or hear and none of what you hear, something like that. Believe, you don't believe what you see if it goes against God's word. But see, therein lies the problem. If you don't know God's word, you don't know if what you're seeing goes against it or not. Okay? Now, so we know then the people, the 10 spies, could not see themselves going over into the land because of fear. Now let's see what fear produces. I want to give you, and what I'm about to say about fear, don't use it in identifying fear everywhere in Scripture, because there's a reason I'm doing it this way, okay? And some of you may have already heard this. Fear, it is false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. I heard that years ago. Now, why is fear false evidence that appears to be real? Okay? Well, let's go back then to looking at what is it that determines the value of evidence in a court of law? What determines the value of evidence in a court of law? How close it is to the truth. Is that not true? The closer the evidence is to the truth, okay, the more valuable it's going to be. Okay, the more valuable it's going to be. So, that's why you can have all the facts. But if the facts don't line up with truth, false evidence appearing real. Okay? Now, why is that important? Because, see, everything Jesus did for us, going to the cross, hanging on that cross, being put into that tomb, being raised on the third day, God had to do all of that for legal reasons. Because if God didn't do it that way, then our salvation would not have been assured. That's why fear, in this case, is false evidence. Because legally, Jesus has paid the price for everything. But if you are letting your life being dictated by false evidence, then you are going to the courthouse and being taken to the cleaners by your enemy. Do you see what I'm telling you? Okay? And see, that's why it's important to know what the scripture says. Because if you don't know what scripture says, you won't be able to identify where the evidence is not true. You won't be able to identify it. And see, the 10 spies, they gave a factual report. They came to the wrong conclusion because they were measuring it against something other than truth. Because if they had measured what they were seeing against truth, what they saw would not have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered.
Amen. That's right.
But it overshadowed truth. It overshadowed truth. Look in chapter 14. Let's begin with verse 20. Now, God has told Moses, says, you know what, Moses? I've kind of had it up to here with these guys. And you know what? I really don't need them to establish my kingdom. I really don't need them to be here in order for the seed to be born, for Jesus Christ to come into being. I really don't need them, Moses. I can make that happen through you. Okay? And so Moses says, you know, God, I hear what you're saying. And this is how Barry hears this, okay? And Moses says, you know, God, I feel you. I feel you. But let me tell you something. You brought them out of the land of Egypt, okay? And you brought them out of the land of Egypt with great fanfare. Plagues that people still talk about. I mean, you brought them out with great fanfare. And so you're going to bring them out here then just to wipe them out? Is that what you really want to do, God? Do you really want people to say, yeah, he brought them out of Egypt just so he could kill them? You know, why should Egypt have all the fun? I want, let me kill them. You don't want that, okay? And then, so this is where we get to in verse 20. And the Lord said, okay, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses had a sin nature. God listened to him. We have God's life and nature in us. Don't you think he will listen to us when he listened to someone who was dead in their spirit? Moses was dead in his spirit. God listened to him. And somehow we forget that we're sons and daughters. And we don't think he ever hears anything we say because look at our lives. Based on what I see in my life, God can't be hearing me. You know why God can't be hearing you? False evidence appearing real. Okay. Okay. But verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory, remember I talked about this, and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. In James, it says God can't be tempted. So what is he talking about here? Trying my patience. They're trying my patience. They tried my patience over and over and over. That's why I'm ready to say, bye, see ya. Tempted me 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. You see what God's issue is? They're not listening to him. That word hearken, it means listen and. Just don't do like Stephen does or used to do. You know, when Doris and I would tell Stephen to do something, he would hear us, but he wouldn't necessarily do it right then and there. So there is some hearing and delayed obedience. Okay? That's not what he's talking about in hearken. He says, listen and do it. And that's why Caleb said, hey, let's go now. Let's not wait. Let's go ahead and just take the land. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Hearken. They do not listen to me and obey what I tell them to do. When you hear God and you don't obey God, you don't get the blessings, folks. Because see, God's blessings are here under obedience, and you're walking somewhere over here in stupidity. I know that obedience and stupidity are not the same side of the opposite side of the coin, but that's what it is. When you know what God's word says and you don't do it, what is that? Stupid. If I'm offending you, that's okay. You'll get over it. You'll get over it. Okay? Surely, verse 23, they shall not... Now, because they did not hearken, surely they will not see the land. Now, remember earlier when I talked about when the spies went over, they based their decision on what they saw. Remember I said that? Now, this is what God says. Because of all those men which, verse 22, see my glory, my miracles, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto the fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. You know what that word provoked means? Disrespected. Disrespected me. They disrespected me. After all that I did for them, they disrespected me. And do you think, Moses, that I'm going to let some hard-headed, stiff-necked people experience the promised land who not only don't hear me, don't obey me, and then on top of that, they're going to disrespect me? You think I'm going to let them see the promised land? No. Do you think he's going to let you see the promised land if you do that? No, he's not. You can forget about the promised land. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. He hearkened, he obeyed, he followed me fully. Him, notice what God says, him will I bring into the land wherewith whereinto he went, and the seed shall possess it. God says, I am going to bring him in. When we hearken, when we listen and obey, God brings us in because we are now walking in alignment and in harmony with him. So he can make sure that door is thrown wide open, guys, that we can experience everything in the promised land. Okay? So we see here in Numbers chapter 14, that seeing God's deliverance, yet not believing it for yourself. That is what the 10 spies, that's what they did. They saw God's deliverance, and yet they still didn't believe it. Then we also see that because they didn't believe, because they didn't trust God, they're not going to see the land. They're not going to possess their inheritance. Okay? And the same holds true for us. We would not possess our inheritance, okay, as long as we don't believe God. A grasshopper's mentality. A grasshopper's mentality, your emotions dominate your actions. Your emotions dominate your actions, okay? That's a grasshopper's mentality. Because, see, those 10 spies, their emotions, what they saw, dominated their actions. Okay? If you're in a workplace and you have a boss that has issues and you respond to your boss in a certain way, you're reacting out of your emotions. Okay? You're acting out of your emotions. That doesn't help. That doesn't help. If you have bills piled up and you start feeling all tight in your chest and you start getting short of breath, those are emotions attacking you hard. Okay? They're attacking you. And see, that's what the children of Israel went through after these 10 spies gave that report. When you look at the first part of chapter 14. Now see, some of you are not going to like the second one. Seeing things from their perspective. They saw things from their perspective. Even though God has said, this is what you're going to see when you go into the land, they came back and they saw it from their perspective, not from God's perspective. I know what God's promises say, but I saw the fruit, I saw the land, but seeing things from your perspective, seeing things from your perspective, okay? The third thing was they acknowledged God's word. Yeah, we know that the land has everything it says, okay? But the bottom line was they did not truly trust God. They did not truly trust God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says those who want to please God have to have what? Faith. And faith says that I may not see it right now, but God's word said it's true. God's word said it's true. Just because I don't see it does not negate God's word. Only thing that means is I have not put on enough of God's word so I can see it. Yeah. That's all that means. I have not put on enough of God's word so I can see it. Okay? Now, let's talk about overcoming a grasshopper mentality. Okay? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Overcoming a grasshopper's mentality. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, though we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay? We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, it doesn't say that our warfare is spiritual, does it? It says our warfare is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But what does John chapter 4 verse 24 say? God is what? Spirit. So it doesn't have to say that our warfare is spiritual not to know that our warfare is not spiritual, that it's spiritual, okay? Verse 5, casting down imaginations, casting down all the false evidence that appears real, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that exalts itself against truth, for the sake of this message. All the false evidence appearing real that exalts itself against truth, we are to bring it into captivity every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. Listening and obeying. Okay? Listening and obeying. Now, let's look at, for just a few scriptures, our model. Since we bring into every thought to the obedience of Christ, let's look at Christ for just a minute. Look in John chapter 4. And most of you, all of you, probably already know what we're going to be reading. It would not surprise me one bit. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." My meat is to hearken to him that sent me. My meat is to listen and obey him who sent me. Okay? 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, For what things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. If we're to bring every thought into obedience to Christ, then we need to follow Christ's example. Okay? Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And then chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, to listen and obey to him that sent me. That is why Jesus came. Okay? Now, let me share something with you. Remember when the 10 spies says that the inhabitants of the land, they be too strong for us? That the inhabitants of the land, we can't overcome them? Okay? Do you realize that every single opponent, every single enemy that the children of Israel dealt with were always stronger than them? Always. That was nothing new. They were always stronger than the children of Israel. Because you remember, they were slaves. They were not men of war. They didn't know how to defend themselves. So anybody they went up against is going to be stronger. Do you see what I'm telling you? It's not about you. Because God said, you saw what I did. You saw the miracles that I did for you. You saw the deliverance that I did for you. And so today, we are saying that, okay, yeah, God, yeah, but I. It's not about you guys. It's about you putting your faith in God to do what God does. And God delivers. Paul says, you know, I was in a lot of junk. He delivered me out of all of them. If you're in something that you need deliverance from, you need to find out how to get out. You need to find out how to get out. And it starts with this one. This is where it starts. It doesn't start with anything else other than this book. You know, Satan is very good at what he does. Because, see, he has us thinking that we can figure this stuff out, and eventually we're going to come to a resolution that's satisfactory. Guys, anything apart from God's word is not going to be a satisfactory resolution. It's just going to be stepping deeper and deeper into that net, into that web of deception that he is building for you. We have to get to the point where we say, okay, I'm done. God, I finally saw the light bulb. It finally came on. I can't do this. You're going to have to do this, Dad. I'm depending on you now. I know. I've been doing this for 40 years, and you've been trying to get me to see for 40 years that if you just step aside, take a deep breath, let me do this, I'll take care of it. Okay. Yeah. I finally learned my lesson. And God is saying, jeez. He said, but he said, you know, at least he learned. At least he learned. Okay? At least he learned. Not too late. Not too late. God's word must determine your actions, not your emotions, not your feelings. God's word determines your actions. Okay? God's word determines your actions. God's perspective, you are my son, my daughter. Okay, all God's sons say, I am God's son. Say it. All the daughters.
I am God's daughter.
You know what? I'm not convinced. I didn't hear any enthusiasm. I didn't hear any conviction. Okay? Hey, if you want me to end the sermon sometime, you need to tell me something. You need to tell me something. Okay. All the men, I am God's son.
I am God's son.
All the females, I am God's daughter.
I am God's daughter.
Okay, guys, you're going to be stuck for a while. The women, they can go. They can go. From God's perspective, we are sons and daughters. Now, I want you to see what God did for his son, his only begotten son. Okay? Look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Jesus is in the garden, and the Roman soldiers are coming for him, and also the soldiers from the Pharisees. And so they get there. Peter cuts off the ear of one of the Pharisees' soldiers, and Jesus puts it back on. And then Jesus says in verse 53, he says, listen, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. To me, that's kind of overdoing it. One would have been enough. One would have been plenty. But Jesus says, hey, I can get 72. I can get 72. Now, Jesus was a son, right? Sons and daughters, are we? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 14. This whole first chapter is talking about Jesus and angels, how Jesus is different from angels, being a son, all those sort of things. And then in verse 14, the Word of God says, are they angels, not all ministering spirits? And why are they ministering spirits? They are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Okay? So, that word ministers means they attend to us. They attend to us. So in other words, they are there when we call upon them to make sure that God's word gets enforced in our lives. They are ministry spirits who minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. I'm going to take one quick sidestep. So if angels then are sent to minister to those who are going to be heirs of salvation, why do we teach that everybody has a guardian angel? Think about that for a minute. Why do we teach everyone has a guardian angel? The Word of God says they are sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. You see that? If you don't become an heir of salvation, you have no angel. See what the Word of God says? If you never get born again, you have no angel. You can forget about it. I'll take one. That's all I need, just one. Okay? So, from God's perspective, as sons and daughters, we have everything we need. Okay? Now, the third thing we need to do to overcome a grasshopper mentality is we need to always agree with God. Okay, look at Amos. Again, it's a record that you're very familiar with. There is Hosea, there's Joel, there's Amos, there's Obadiah. I mean, there's Jonah. Yeah, Obadiah and then Jonah. Okay, but we're going to Amos. We're going to read verse 3, but I want to read the first two verses also. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken unto you. Guess what that word hear means? Listen. Listen and obey. Okay? Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family. See how he's talking about them? Family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. You are my family, is what God is saying. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities. I'm going to treat you like a son and a daughter who's been disobedient. Okay? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? That's verse 3. What verse 3 is saying, it says, until we are united, until we come to the place that we are on the same page, it's not happening. That's what he's talking about when he says, can two walk together unless they agree? Until we come to a place we are united. And guess what, guys? United doesn't mean that God agrees with me. United means that I agree with him. Okay? Until that happens, then we got issues. And that's what he's talking about. That's why he's so upset with the children of Israel. Okay? So, we have to always agree with God. Look at Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, look at verse 59. I'm getting there. Verse 59. David says, you know, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So David says, you know something, God? I've been walking, and I thought about the direction that I was walking in, God. And I realized that I'm not walking in your direction. I am not walking with you. I am not agreeing with you. You and I, we're not united. So you know what David says? He says, so I turned my feet so I can start walking according to your word. So I can walk, okay? Turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There are a lot of folks who need to turn their feet. You need to turn your feet. Remember that word, walk with me? You need to turn your feet. Look at verse 60. And not only did David turn his feet, he says in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Not only did I turn my feet, I made haste, not so that I could keep your commandments. Look at verse 172. Do I really want to read verse 172? Do I really want to read that? My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. My tongue is not going to give an evil report. My tongue is not going to disagree with your word. My tongue is going to say yes to what you say yes to, and no to what you say no to. That's what my tongue is going to do. Okay? You know why my tongue is going to do that? Because all of everything you say are righteous. They're righteous. Which means that everything that my tongue says is not necessarily righteous. But I'm going to start making sure that it is. I'm going to make sure that it is. Okay. Overcoming a grasshopper mentality. Trust God to have your back. Let's go to Psalm first, and then we'll go to Isaiah. Psalm 27. Since we're in Psalm, you got to trust God to have your back. In Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is my light. Am I the right one? Yeah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. No one. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because I didn't fear. Because I wasn't afraid. Because God was my light. God was my salvation. So you think I'm going to be concerned about an enemy when I got God on my side? Hello? It doesn't get any better than that. Verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. When everything seems to be closing in on me, when everything seems to weigh me down, my emotions are starting to get the better of me, I am not going to fear. God is my light, verse 1. God is my salvation, verse 1. I am not going to fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. What is he going to be confident in? this one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now notice in verse 4, there's a couple of things that David says he will have to do. First of all, you have to want to. Desired, you have to want to. Okay? And then you got to take that want and turn it into action by seeking. By seeking. Okay? So David says, first of all, I got to have that desire. And I have it. I want it. And not only do I want it, I'm going to take the necessary steps to get it. Okay? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then you can insert Psalm 92 in that one right there. He that dwells in the house of the Most Holy, or what is it? Okay. Barry, find it. Is it 91? Yeah, 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Okay? So you can just insert that right there. Now look at verse 5. Is everybody there? Okay. Read it with me. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. You see that? Okay. He shall set me up on a rock. Now, you have to believe that God has your back. Okay, you got to trust God to have your back, and that's why I wanted to save Isaiah chapter 8. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. This brought a smile to my face, as you probably will see. In Isaiah chapter 8, he's talking about all the enemies who wants to come against him. Okay, and then he gets down to verse 9. He says, And this is God says, okay, go ahead, associate yourselves. Come together to fight my people. O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. When you come against my folks, I'm going to break you in pieces. Okay? And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Okay, if you want to take a chance, come on, they'll break you too. And ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is where? With us. But see, that's not even the best part. I hadn't even read the best part yet. Okay? Verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy. You don't join with them. You don't link with them. To all them whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Okay. Verse 13, guys. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. In other words, you let him take the stand for you. You want to talk about some fearing? You let God be your fear to your enemies. You let your enemies see your God, and you're going to see some fear. You're going to see some dread. That's what he's talking about. You have to trust God to have your back. Do you see that? He's your father. Why wouldn't he have your back? Why wouldn't he have your back? And please, don't tell me that, you know, my dad was a sorry father. He did things that fathers shouldn't do. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. But we're not talking about your dad. We're not talking about your dad. We're talking about your heavenly father. Okay? That's who we're talking about. That's who we're talking about. He has your back. He says, you know what? If people want to see some fear, I can bring it on your behalf. If people want to see some dread, if the enemy wants to see dread, I can bring it on your behalf. I can do that for you. Let me. But as long as you're fearing and as long as you're dreading, God can't do that for you. God can't do that for you. Okay? So let's wind it down. So what do we learn? What can we learn from Numbers 13? First of all, emotions can cloud your judgment. Emotions can cloud your judgment. Okay? And whenever your judgment is clouded, guess what? You don't make the right decision. I'm going to even go out on a limb. You don't even come close to making the right decision. You're not even in the same ballpark as a right decision based on God's word, because your emotions are clouding your judgment. Because, see, all your judgments should be based on God's word. Okay? Your judgment should be based on God's word. Fear, false evidence appearing real, can keep you from receiving what is legally yours. Okay? He can keep you from seeing what's legally yours. Because remember, the word of God says Jesus is our advocate. Okay? And the word of God also says that Satan accuses the brethren day and night. And he's accusing the brethren based on legal standards, guys. Legal standards. Okay? I'll give you an example. Gary Carpenter talks about how his daughters, when they were growing up, were so far away from God that he could look down the road at night and see them. Okay? And he said that, you know, I found a verse in Scripture that I really latched hold of. Because, see, Satan was saying, listen, they're mine. They made the decision by not following God. So when they make a decision not to follow God, then they're legally mine. And so he took Isaiah 49:25, I think. He says, I will contend with those who contend with you and save your children. And so Gary Carter says, you know, legally they're yours right now, but they're not going to be yours for long, because I'm bringing them home. Okay? Okay? And then finally, speaking contrary to God's word means never possessing the land. When I first wrote that, I wrote means not possessing the land. And God says, no, no. Because, see, when you use the word not, there's always a possibility that that not could become a possibility of possessing the land. But God says, you know, when you go against my word, you never are going to possess the land. It's not even a remote possibility. So every time that you speak something that's contrary to God's word, there's your inheritance going right down the road. Every time you say something that God does not agree with, you can just wave your inheritance goodbye. Okay? You can wave it goodbye. Because as long as you are not speaking God's word, you are never going to get God's results. God blesses his word. He doesn't bless anything else. God stands behind his word. He doesn't stand behind anything else. Don't care how pretty you are. Don't care how good looking you are. Don't care how many muscles you got. Doesn't matter. If you are not speaking God's word, he's not standing behind anything else but that. Anything else but that. Which answers the question. Why are we, as a body of Christ, experiencing so many things that go against God's word? Because we're not standing on God's word. Quite simple. Quite simple. So let this day be the first day that you make a decision that I'm going to hearken, I'm going to listen, and I am going to fully obey. Not partially. I'm going to fully obey. When God tells me to do something, I'm going to drop what I'm doing right then and there, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. When you start doing that, that access road starts getting like this. And it's just like your heart. The wider the capillaries, is that what they call? The vessels. The more oxygen gets pumped into the heart, the healthier you are. Think about your blessings being like the vessels of your heart. You want them as wide as possible and unobstructed. Please stand.